Welcome to Find Your Niche, a career podcast offering advice that you can implement today, as well as career tips that will set you on a career path and help you to find your niche. I'm Lori Cole, certified career coach and job search advisor with iHire.
iHire connects you to industry-specific jobs in over 57 talent communities. Find your niche today on iHire.
In this episode, I'm devoting the entire thing to resume writing and the most frequently asked questions that I get as a career coach. If you're like many job seekers that I talk to, writing a resume is a real challenge. And why wouldn't it be? It's not something you do every day. It's something that you do once every few years. And the rules are always changing about what you should include now and what you shouldn't include now. But don't worry, I am here to help. We're going to talk about things like how to format your resume, what should be on your resume, what should not be on your resume, and how to tailor your resume for every job you apply to. I'm excited to share some of the tips and tricks that I've learned over the years from our professional resume writing staff at iHire, and also what I've picked up through articles and just providing career advice to people. So let's get started.
Here are the latest trends, topics, and tips that will help you in your job search.
Most of the time I spend in career coaching is talking to people about their resumes and their cover letters and just what they can do better, especially on the resume side of it. So I'm going to dedicate this entire segment to how you can be better when writing your resume. Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that if you can afford to have your resume professionally written, you should go that route because it just takes such a burden off of you. People can really get bogged down with the whole idea of writing their resume, what should go on it, what shouldn't go on it. If you have a professional writer and they are helping you outline what your work experience has been, they know how long your resume should be. They know how much of your work experience to include. They know what the skills and your summary section should look like. So you'll never have that little nagging thought in the back of your mind about, well, am I not getting phone calls because I wrote my own resume? Is there something wrong with my resume? That's usually what people are calling and asking me about. What could I do different? What did I do wrong? Because I'm not getting calls. And if you get a professional writer, you won't have to worry about that. We start talking about what you can do with your resume. There's some things that you should know about. Let's talk first about recruiters.
You recruiter?
Recruiters are the people that are working in the HR divisions of the company, and they are extremely busy people. In fact, with the labor shortage that's going on right now, recruiters could look at 100 different resumes a day, and it's not just for one job. They might have 5 or 6 jobs that they're screening resumes for. One of the most important things I tell people is don't force the recruiter to do the extra work to try to figure out what you're applying for. So many times I see candidates sending in resumes that are one size fits all. I looked at a resume the other day and the person said, well, I can do HR and I can do sales and I can do marketing. Those are 3 very different career paths. So what I recommended to that person was get 3 different resumes, have 3 different resumes written or write them yourself so that one follows the career path of HR and you're really capitalizing on the HR experience you've had. The other one is sales. This person was very experienced in the sales realm, so they had enough that they could do a targeted resume for each one of those career paths. I'll tell you, a one-size resume does not fit all because it forces that recruiter to try to figure out what you're applying for, and you don't want to do that. You want to connect as many dots for that recruiter as you can who are looking at those hundreds of resumes. And because these recruiters are looking at so many resumes, that's why the adoption of applicant tracking systems has been so high. The recruiters love these systems because What an applicant tracking system basically does is it reads the keywords in the job description you're applying for, and then it reads the keywords in the resume that's coming through, and then it gives that resume a score.
What's the score?
So if you have all of the right keywords in your resume, then it's more likely that you're going to get through that applicant tracking system and to an actual person, to the actual recruiter, so that they can look at your resume. Have you ever received one of those emails 10 minutes after you applied that says, oh, thank you for applying, but no thanks, basically? Well, that means that your resume probably got scanned through the applicant tracking system. You didn't have enough keywords, you didn't score high enough, and the system put you into the pile of candidates that they weren't going to call. And then that automated email triggered back to you just to let you know that you were not in the running for that position. Most resumes are going to go through this applicant tracking system. You should write your resume as if it will go through this applicant tracking system just to be safe. Some smaller companies don't have these, and that's cool. If you apply to one of those companies and you get actual human eyeballs on your resume, that is ideal. That's best case scenario. So what information should you include on your resume? Well, just remember, the top of your resume is super important. Recruiters look at your resume on average between 6 and 15 seconds. So you have to make it very easy for them to scan through, look at the important dates, look at the important information. So you should have at the top of your resume, your contact information, your name, phone number, city, state, zip only, no physical address. Don't put your physical address on there anymore. And your LinkedIn profile. You should also have a skills section towards the top of your resume immediately after the summary section. And that skills section will be important for you because that's where you'll be able to swap out some of the skills that you have with some of the skills in the job description. If you're looking at the job description and looking at the keywords and it says that Excel is a very important keyword for that job, you'll want to swap out one of the keywords in your skills section for the word Excel. Follow up your skills section with your work experience section, and then your education, and then your awards and achievements if there's room. Usually we like to keep resumes at 1 to 2 pages. What about the things you should not include on your resume? Your picture. In some countries, it's totally normal to put a picture on your resume, but in the US, don't put a picture on your resume. Don't include your marital status, any personal information. You don't have to include your hobbies. You don't want to include any typos or grammatical errors. There are so many programs between Word and Grammarly. Bottom line, check for typos, check for grammar mistakes, and have someone else proofread your resume. Do not include that old statement at the bottom of your resume that says references are available upon request. That will date you faster than anything. Just have a separate reference sheet that you can hand someone in an interview if they ask for it. Don't include your landline. And I'll also give you a little bit of a warning about old email addresses.
I mean, he still has an AOL address.
Those things could also date you. You don't want to include work experience that's any more than 15 to 20 years old at the very most. Your resume does not have to be a complete diary of every job that you've ever held. Your resume is a marketing piece. Your resume is what is going to get you through that door. Also, when you're talking about dates of schooling, do not include the dates that you graduated from college or that you graduated from high school.
Because it is not relevant.
And just the fact that you can say, I graduated with this degree, should be all the employer really needs to know. I also like to tell people you can leave off the months when you are defining a date. So for instance, if you worked somewhere between July of 2019 to present, all you need to really say is I worked there from 2019 to present. You don't have to include the month of July. Sometimes people will have gaps of a few months on their resume, and they're really worried about that. They're really worried, like, what's the employer going to think of me because I didn't work for that 6 months? Well, just including the year solves that problem. Nobody has to know that you were unemployed for a few months. So which parts of your resume will you tailor for the job? Well, if your resume is well-written, the only parts that you'll really need to focus on when you're tailoring it for the job and you're pulling those keywords out of the job description, I would change the summary paragraph slightly to detail why you would be a good fit for that position and how your experience works into that position. And I would focus on that skills section, which resume format will work for me. There are three different types of format. There is a chronological type of a resume, and that basically lists your work experience with more detail, and that's in reverse chronological order. Then there's a functional resume, and that resume focuses more on your skills and your expertise, rather than giving all of the details of your work history. You're still going to put your work history on there, but each job will basically be one line in your work history. A hybrid resume highlights your skills and achievements sections first, and then that's followed up by work experience. And you can be a little bit more detailed about each job in the work experience section of a hybrid resume. If you don't know what resume format is right for you, iHire has many articles that really go into detail and will give you some very good examples and even templates that you can use for your resume. Should you tailor your resume to a specific job? Absolutely. You have to tailor your resume to every job that you're applying for. If you don't, it is a huge waste of time. Employers know when you have not put that effort in. And employers are giving you a clue about what keywords to use in your resume based on the job description. Have gaps in my resume. Well, there's a couple of different things you can do. I really like to see this explained more on the cover letter than on the resume. But if it's a large gap and you really feel like you need to explain it, go ahead and just include one or two brief sentences about the gap and why there was a gap, but then go into more detail on that in the cover letter. Should I include a cover letter on my resume? Absolutely. Even if the employer doesn't ask for one, you should include a cover letter. And that cover letter should be personalized for that position. Don't just find a cover letter template. You want your personality to shine through. This is part of your first impression. So put that work into it, put that effort into it. I see people doing this only for jobs that they really think they're interested in. A lot of people will just say, well, I'm wishy-washy on this job. I don't know if I really want to call about this job, but I'd like to apply. You know what? If you are applying for that job, put in the effort, put in that extra 10 or 15 minutes or whatever it's going to take to customize your resume, customize your cover letter. Bottom line is that yes, your cover letter explains to the employer why you are a good fit for that position and why they should bring you in for an interview. All right, that's all for the mailbag session. I can't believe I talked this long on just the resume.
Is there something you need some guidance on in terms of your career? Email to laurie.cole@ihire.com. Thanks for listening.